Welcome, everyone, to Heartbeat Theater. This is your host, C.P. McGregor, inviting you to be the guest of the Salvation Army for the next half hour. It is said by some that once every decade, a great man is born who is destined, through some field of human endeavor, to carry a little brighter light to the darkness of the world. Such a man was born 100 years ago. His name was Samuel Logan Bringle. A man compounded equally of humility and fire, he was to all men a friend, to the Salvation Army a saint. His story is important both to the Salvation Army, to whose work he dedicated his life, and to all men as an affirmation that faith and love and the courageous life built upon them can still, in our age, inspire men to do great things for great causes. Our story is titled Portrait of a Prophet, adapted from Clarence W. Hall's book by Roger Rooney, and starring as Sam Bringle, Les Tremaine. Now, Portrait of a Prophet, Part 1, Act 1.
A 100 years ago, prairie schooners headed west. Creaked and groaned as they fought their way through the wilderness. The families that rode those canvas-covered wagons were the brave ones. Between the brave ones and the new farmland they sought, hostile Indians, wolves, bears, mosquitoes, and dreaded malaria lay in wait. Cowards never left their homes in civilized communities. Only the brave pressed westward. Only the strong lived to find their dream. With the sunset, the wagons would stop. Cooking utensils, blankets, and a few other belongings would be unpacked. After a supper eaten in the open by the light of the fire, someone would read from the Bible. The rest would listen.
Look now towards heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. Children, this means that Abraham, listening to the call of God, is to become, he is told, the father of children, spiritual children, so numerous they would be like the stars for number.
One of the two boys, Sam by name, does not understand. Later that night, looking up at the many stars, he still does not understand. This is the story of Sam. Sam Bringle, son of pioneering parents. A normal, healthy boy who liked to hear his mother read the Bible and who one day hoped to be a great orator.
Hi! Giddy up there! Hey! Hey! That's it. Colonel Moore. Oh! Now, as we plow this next furrow, I shall recite a few verses from Genesis. Are you ready? All right. Giddy up. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Sam Bringle received some schooling from his mother and some in the rural schoolhouse during the winter months when the farm chores were light. Then came the day that was a turning point in his life.
Yes, Samuel. Now you're going to get that higher education you've always wanted.
But how?
Your stepfather and I have made arrangements with Professor Heinemann at Claremont.
Claremont? Well, that's 15 miles away.
You'll live at the professor's home, son.
Professor Heinemann? He can help me a lot with my public speaking.
He's heard what a good student you are.
Oh, Mother, this is what I've dreamed about. But now that the opportunity is here,
Sam, don't worry about the farm. We'll manage somehow without you.
Sam went to Claremont. The professor was delighted to find a youngster so eager to learn grammar and words. Words that could be skillfully blended to describe emotions and incidents. Professor Heinemann treated Sam Bringle like a younger brother. And Sam's devotion for the professor never diminished. With the help of Professor Heinemann, Sam passed the entrance examination and enrolled in the Indiana Asbury University, a a Methodist Episcopal University located at Green Castle, Indiana. The name was later to be changed to DePauw University. It was here that I first became acquainted with Samuel Brengel.
Sam! Sam! Over here!
Albert! Albert Bevering, how in the world did we ever get separated?
Well, it's this crowd, Sam. The student body, the faculty, everyone is literally overwhelmed by our debating victory.
And we won, didn't we, partner?
Oh, Sam, you won. Without you, we would never have stood a chance.
Oh, nonsense. Come on, let's go out for some fresh air.
All right.
It's so stuffy in here.
Just follow me. Well, excuse us, friends. Excuse us, please.
Thank you. Yeah, you're very kind.
Excuse us. Let us pass through.
Yeah, thank yes, you. Yes, thank I'll you. Be back in a moment. Yes,
Sam, Sam, this way. Out the stage door.
Oh, yeah. Oh, this night air is wonderful.
Oh, that milling crowd.
Price of fame, my lad.
Oh, Sam, you're the one who's famous. Oh, what a beautiful delivery. You know, I knew 30 seconds after you started speaking that the debate was in the palm of our hands.
Well, you did well, too, Bev. Don't forget it.
Well, that's because you taught me so much. Sam, tell me, haven't you decided yet? I mean, about taking up law.
Oh, I am still carrying on a great debate with myself.
But, Sam, if you decide on law, what a name you'd make for yourself. Sam, you're the most popular man in our Delta Kappa Epsilon fraternity. Why, you have the entire student body acclaiming you and every debating circle in the Middle West.
Oh, stop it, Bev. Believe me, I love to hear your words of praise and the applause of the people, but I'm still undecided.
Oh, how you would convince a jury. Or politics. Why, Sam, you could run for any office.
Oh, enough, Bev. You flatter me too much.
No. No, this isn't flattery. I really mean this. I only hope that I can become even one-third as great as I know you are destined to become.
Well, thank you, Bev. If I ever decide on becoming a lawyer, maybe we could be partners.
Sam, we'd set the world on fire. I mean it. We'd set the world on fire. Sam and I might have become partners, but no, on second thought, it was never meant to be. Sam was religious. He prayed often and read his Bible daily, no matter how pressing his studies might become. Sam soon persuaded me to become more interested in church and prayer. We talked many long hours about our studies, our careers, and our religion. I kept hoping that Sam would eventually go on to law school with me. A decision was made just before we graduated from DePauw. Sam was sent to Providence, Rhode Island, where our fraternity, Delta Kappa, was holding its national convention. The DePauw chapter was in danger of being dissolved. Sam was sent to save it. I'll never forget the night when Sam returned.
Bev, wake up. It's Sam.
Oh, Sam, come in. Come in. The door's unlocked.
Albert Bevering, I have returned.
Oh, Sam. Sam, tell me, did we win?
We won. You're the first one to know, Bev.
Well, tell me about it, Sam. Now start from the beginning.
It wasn't easy this time, Bev. The night before the big meeting, I prayed hard 4 times. And between my prayers, I took long walks. But somehow I couldn't think. I couldn't find an idea or an approach that I felt would sway them.
Sam, are you saying that prayer didn't help this time?
No, Bev. I composed a winning speech, all right, but after I made a solemn promise.
A promise? Well, to whom? What was the promise?
This has been coming on for a long time, Bev. I made a promise to God.
What kind of a promise?
Bev, after I prayed for the 4th time and took my 4th walk, everything became just as clear as crystal. It was all so simple, and yet so enlightening.
Tell me, Sam, tell me.
I promised God that if he would give me the wisdom to save our fraternity here at Asbury, and, Bev, you know the very life of Asbury was at stake.
Yes, yes, I know.
I promised God if he would help me, I would devote my life to preaching.
Preaching? No. No, Sam. Sam, you can't. I mean, what about our partnership, our law practice?
I'm sorry, Bev. I know how keenly you felt about that, but it looks like we'll separate after graduation.
Well, now, look, Sam, you were tired and anxious. I'm sure God is aware of that. You don't have to abide
but
by
I
a promise.
I want to abide by my promise. I'm happy about it. I know now I want to preach more than anything else in the world.
Well, forgive me, Sam.
I must have sounded selfish.
No, you're not selfish. And don't be so serious. This doesn't mean we're no longer friends. We'll always be friends. You'll be a famous lawyer and a congressman, just as you planned. And maybe, maybe I'll be a good preacher. I hope so.
Sam, I'd give a fortune if I could be as sure of being in the United States Senate as I am sure that you will be a bishop.
That was the first act of Portrait of a Prophet, starring Lester Mayne as Sam Bringle. These are the times that try men's souls. Tom Paine wrote those words about 200 years ago, but the times he wrote about, while altered in substance, have not appreciably changed direction. As it was then, so it is now, a time for leadership, for men of wisdom and courage and faith like Jefferson, Lincoln, men like William Booth and Sam Bringle. The world needs men who can aim it in the direction of peace. It also needs men to help it find God. The Salvation Army needs officers, men and women of intelligence and spiritual conviction. It's a life of dedication and sacrifice. So, too, were the lives of Ben Franklin and Abraham Lincoln. A man could do worse than follow in the path of such men or of such a man as Sam Bringle. Think about this, won't you? It's worth some thought. Now, Act Two of Portrait of a Prophet, Part One, starring Lester Mayne as Sam Bringle.
After graduation, Sam Bringle and I separated. I eventually became a member of the United States Senate. Sam, however, was determined to preach, and I followed his progress and his defeats through our steady correspondence. I was elated to read in one of his letters of the new parish that had been promised to him. But in the very next letter, the Reverend Samuel L. Bringle was a circuit rider in northwest Indiana. In later years, Sam Bringle was to tell his friends,
"Losing that city church was the best thing that could have happened to me. If I had gone to that appointment to work among those cultured and refined people, I no doubt would have shown off my spread eagle delivery. But among the farms of my circuit, I learned the foundation of true preaching, humility and simplicity."
But after a year of circuit riding, Sam still longed for a city parish. He was immeasurably pleased when his bishop recalled him from the circuit and urged him to take up further studies. Sam was eager to add to his ministerial qualifications. A banker loaned Sam the money for his tuition. No collateral was asked. Sam promised to pay his large indebtedness as soon as he could. He chose Boston Theological Seminary and was soon aboard an eastbound train. Meanwhile, far across the Atlantic, an unusual religious movement had sprung up in the British Isles. Sam Bringle read of the details as his train swept on toward Boston.
He calls himself General William Booth, a tall, angular man with a voice of thunder and a heart of flame. The saving of sinners is his passion. His Salvation Army will be made up of the men redeemed. And yet, some of the very people he tries to save repay him with insults, unkindly epithets, and brickbats. Still, the movement is thriving. Scandalous is the opinion of some churchmen, while others say, well-meaning, but mad. Well, I, for one, am a little inclined to agree with the latter. I wish you well, General Booth. I want to preach more than anything else in the world, but I hardly think I care to join your army. I think I would rather become a Methodist bishop.
Sam was one of the hardest working students at Boston Theological Seminary. When the other students retired, Sam's lamp would still be lit. When they awoke the next morning, Sam had already put in a good hour or more of hard work. Little time did he have to think of General Booth, the man he was to come face to face with in a short while. But first, Another glorious chapter in the life of Sam Brengle. Sam had always been a devout, God-fearing man. Because we were longtime friends and because he was responsible for my return to the penitent rail, it was only natural that I would be one of the very first to know.
Bev, I've told you how I've long sought after holiness, or sanctification, or second work of grace. Bev, all these terms mean the same thing. And I've found it. Holiness. When it came upon me, I saw the humility of Jesus and my pride. The meekness of Jesus and my temper. The lowliness of Jesus and my ambition. Bev, I awoke that morning hungering just to live the life of fellowship with God, never again to sin in thought, word, or deed. Later, I walked out over Boston Commons before breakfast, weeping for joy and praising God. Oh, how I loved Jesus. I loved the whole world and all of God's creatures.
This glory experience was only an incident in Sam Brengle's sanctification. But during the remainder of Sam's life, he never doubted this experience. The change came quickly in his sermons. Before sanctification, preaching meant honors for Brengle. Now it was to mean glory for Christ. Previously, he had preached to please. Now he would preach to disturb. Men had said, "How beautiful is his oratory." Hereafter, they would have good cause to say, "How black are my sins." Naturally, when the great General Booth visited Boston, Sam was present and listening intently.
Do you think a few insults, a few curses, a few flying objects can stop God's army? Do you think there is any street so vile, any sewer so deep, that it can stop the army if a soul is to be won? No, my friends. The band strikes up. The soldiers of God begin to sing. We march! True, we know the acrid taste of defeat, but we know, too, the sweet taste of success. There will be more and greater success. With God as our supreme commander, with this holy book to guide us on a true course, with hearts full to overflowing, with love for our God and for our fellow men, whether our fellow man eats from the finest and richest silver plate, or skulks near the back door and begs for crumbs, our army will march on to victory.
General, General Booth, sir.
Oh, yes. And your name, sir?
Reverend Samuel Brengle, General. I'm so happy to meet you. I enjoyed your message immensely.
Thank you. Do you preach?
Not so much these days since I enrolled at BTS.
BTS?
The Boston Theological Seminary.
Oh, I see. You have a good voice, Mr. Brengle, and a fine education. You should do well in any parish.
General, I wish I could join you.
No one really knows if General Booth heard Sam's last statement that night, or whether the tall, gaunt, fiery founder of the Salvation Army thought it best not to answer as he shook the hand of Sam Brengle. Sam was deeply impressed that night, but very shortly after, a big decision faced him. Back in South Bend, Indiana, Clement Studebaker, the builder of wagons and a large fortune, had recently built a church, a beautiful church, the finest Methodist edifice in northern Indiana. Sam Brengle was asked to accept the pastorate of the Studebaker Church. Sam prayed for guidance.
Oh, yes. Yes, Lord, I see. I understand. I shall seek first the kingdom of God. I shall write letters immediately, declining with thanks the pastorate of the finest church in northern Indiana.
His studies completed, Sam plunged into the evangelistic work he loved. He preached at every opportunity. Everywhere, the rich and poor alike were greatly impressed by his spiritual messages. Sam made many, many friends. Quite naturally, a very popular unmarried preacher was often questioned about taking a wife.
Well, frankly, my friends, I can't tell you yes or no. You see, the matter is out of my hands.
You mean, Reverend, you're waiting for the woman to propose to you?
No, no, my dear Mrs. Thompson. If and when it comes to proposing, I think I will manage somehow. I mean, I put the matter in the good Lord's hands. I will abide by his decision. If he decides I should take a wife, I feel I shall recognize her immediately and summon up enough courage to propose.
Sam traveled a lot and met many young women of grace, accomplishment, and goodness. Among them was one Elizabeth Swift.
Yes, I came to know Sam Brengle well. We had many discussions. One of the most memorable took place on the eve before my departure for England.
Elizabeth, I shall not try to disguise the fact that I shall miss you terribly while you're away.
I shall miss you too, Samuel, especially your sermons and our delightful discussions.
I shall miss traipsing along after you as you attend to your Salvation Army work. I certainly wish you every success with your book, The Army Drum.
Thank you, Samuel.
Just how long do you propose to continue your research in England?
Practically all winter, I'm afraid.
You're doing wonderful work, Elizabeth. God is pleased, I'm sure.
God must be more than pleased with you, Samuel. You are very dedicated. I am proud to have you as a friend.
We will continue corresponding while you're in England?
Of course.
I was thinking just last night how, during the past few months, we have discussed so many things. Religion, philosophy, fellowship with God, even politics.
Even politics.
Everything but love.
You mean...
I mean love of a man and woman.
Samuel...
Elizabeth, I've never told you this, but you should know. For months, for years, I've prayed that God, if he so desired, would send me a wife. And then that very first night I saw you standing there in your Salvation Army uniform, I knew then. I knew, Elizabeth.
Knew what, Samuel?
Knew that if I was ever to marry, it would have to be you.
Samuel, please remember, we're brothers in Christ.
Yes. And that makes it even more perfect. I've always said, my wife must love God above all else. Then we will surely be happy, because she will understand the work I must do, the sacrifices that must be made. Elizabeth, would you consider being my wife?
No, Samuel, no. All my common sense says loudly and clearly you must not marry him.
Elizabeth.
Samuel, someday you'll be glad that I couldn't think as you did, that I kept you free. I'm sorry. I'm sure God means better things for you.
Very well. We shan't speak of it any more tonight. I must be leaving. I'm sure you have last-minute packing. Now, don't take time to see me out. I know the way.
You'll say goodnight to Father?
Yes, I will, on my way out. Elizabeth, we will continue to write to each other.
Of course. We must always be friends.
Good night.
Good night, Samuel.
You will finish your writing assignment quickly, won't you? And hurry back to America?
I will.
Excellent. Good night again. And bon voyage.
I spent the entire winter in England. Sam wrote often, and I answered every letter. Dear Samuel, I am not the one. I'm older than you. My father has recently suffered financial reverses. I could hardly think of leaving you. No, Samuel. You told me your life was one of utter devotion to Christ Jesus. I can never risk hindering that.
You too are devoted to Christ. We both have the same goal in life. Why can't we work together? I've prayed, Elizabeth. The answer is still the same. I propose marriage to you again.
I've prayed too, Samuel. I shall continue to pray on the voyage home. I will give you my answer when the ship docks.
Samuel? Over here, Samuel.
I see you, Elizabeth. If I can just get through the crowd, I'll be there soon. Excuse me, sir. Pardon me. Excuse me, please. Oh, at last.
Samuel.
Oh, Elizabeth, how beautiful you look. Oh, Elizabeth, how I long to embrace you. If I knew your answer, I would know whether it was proper or not.
Embrace me, Samuel. Embrace me.
Oh, my dearest Elizabeth. Oh, how can I ever express the happiness I feel now? I love you so much.
I love you, Samuel.
We'll be happy. I know I can make you happy. In fact, I have some big news. I know it will make you happy.
But tell me, Samuel. Don't keep me in suspense.
All right, my darling. After a good deal of thought and prayer, I've decided to become a Salvationist.
Samuel, you never once even suggested.
I know, but I've given it some considerable thought.
Samuel, you know you don't have to do this for my sake.
It's for your sake, my sake, and God's sake.
I'm very happy. You know, once I made my decision...
About marrying me, you mean?
Yes. Well, a few days ago on this ship, once I decided to say yes the next time you proposed, I knew our marriage would have a beautiful beginning.
Oh, my darling.
But I never dreamed it would be this beautiful.
Elizabeth, you and I are dedicated to do God's work. We will work together side by side, and we'll be happy.
I know we will, my darling.
My life is dedicated to God and to bringing you happiness.
And so at this point in his life, Sam Brengel began two great lifelong projects. Marriage, which was to bring him the love and happiness he so richly deserved, and also an inspiring career in the ranks of the Salvation Army. In the Army, Sam was to find that the way was not always smooth. But why else was this man so liberally endowed with courage, enthusiasm, and a fiery desire to spread the word of God? Sam eventually rose to the rank of commissioner, and never during his entire career in the ministry did he pass up the opportunity to help anyone, no matter what their age, race, or station in life, to find the path that would lead to glory. No one ever kept a record, but later in his life, Sam Brengel, whose young legs once hung over the weather-beaten tailgate of a covered wagon, grew to know the meaning of the biblical phrase, "Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shalt thy seed."
That was the final act of Portrait of a Prophet, starring Les Tremaine as Sam Brengel. Be sure and be with us again next week for the second part of this inspiring story. Heartbeat Theater is a presentation of the Salvation Army and is broadcast overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Service. Until next week, this is your host, C.P. McGregor, saying thanks for listening and have a happy week ahead.